scripture reading for this morning will be coming from John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. John 12, 44 through 50. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak."
Good morning. It is good to be with you this day, as it is every time we're assembled together, for we love to be a part of this congregation, and we certainly appreciate you and the kind things that you say to and about us, at least to our face. Oh, we love you very much, and we're so glad to be a part of you. And those of you that are visiting us today, we want you to feel, as Steve mentioned, to be our honored guests, and hope that you'll be back with us at any opportunity that you might have. I want you to think about a word, absolute, and what that word might mean in your mind, because that's going to be a key word in our lesson for this morning. But as we get into it, I want to give a real-life illustration. Being a math teacher for a big part of my adult life, I've run into issues that students would have in understanding how to arrive at the right answer. And so you can see this is a very simple math expression. 5 + 6 × 4. Now, that should be easy enough for us to get, at least initially, what it is we're looking at doing. Now, there's not an absolute way to write this. Now, there's that word, and we're going to be talking about that word throughout. There are multiple ways to write this expression mathematically because there are multiple symbols we can use to indicate one of these operations. So we could write it that way, which uses the multiplication symbol X between two numbers, 5 + 6 × 4. Most of you would recognize that. Some of you that's been enough years away from your math classes, though, in junior high and high school, might not remember that you can use a parentheses around a number to indicate that you're multiplying. And so 5 + 6 (4) means the same thing as the other. And then there's another one that we can use, a dot. We can use a dot to recognize or to illustrate multiplication. And so 5 + 6 / 4 also means the same thing as the previous two. So there's not an absolute way to write this down. The question is there an absolute way to evaluate this? Now I know how some of you probably think you've already started adding and multiplying and whatever you're doing in your mind to get to the place, but we're not answering this question yet. We're going to do that later in the lesson. But this is the illustration that we're using about this word absolute, because there are many people who will tell you there are no absolutes. Which, by the way, if they say that, that's an absolute. But the question is about, are there absolutes, particularly as it pertains to life and, even more importantly, to the Word of God? And so I want us to think about the way the world views this word and the way that they want things to be. So let's look at society and how they view the word absolute. And they're always saying or looking for loopholes. Now, if there's a loophole, that means it's not an absolute, right? Because absolute means it's this or nothing else. Nothing added to it or taken away from it. Nothing to change it. But if there's a loophole, that's a way around. In fact, we will spend, and I say we, talking about our society, will spend countless numbers of dollars to hire these people that know the laws to find that loophole, to find a way around having to suffer the consequences of an action. That's the way that society thinks. Now here's just one example that shows how this could kind of play into all of this. We know, and generally speaking, the world knows that in general, killing humans is wrong. And that's. But then we'll say, but you know what? We don't have any problem killing people in war. And part of that's because God didn't have any problem with the Israelites killing people in war. In fact, He commanded them to kill in those instances. Sometimes we kill those who are trying to harm somebody else. I know that there's people in here that might have on their person occasionally a weapon that they would use in self-defense if necessary, and if it was necessary to protect a loved one, they would not hesitate to use that weapon to kill somebody else, and society would justify that for them. So we do that. And God certainly commanded the Israelites at times to have weapons and to use them to kill. Then there's another one. We kill criminals as punishment. This is really the big sticking place for a lot of people. It's because how do we know that person that we're executing is really guilty and we're not executing an innocent person? And I would feel certain to say that there have been some innocent people executed wrongly in this country and in other countries in previous civilizations and all, that has happened. But here's the illustration about killing humans being wrong is not an absolute. Therefore, it brings forth this thought, situational ethics. What does that mean? That right or wrong is generally that something might be wrong, but there might be circumstances and when it's okay. Depends on the situation. So it's not absolutely wrong. So let's think about life then as we're applying this. Stealing might be okay if I'm hungry. Now, I'm not saying that. That's the way the world thinks. That if I'm hungry enough and there's some, I'm walking by a market that's got fruit out there on a stand, that if I'm hungry and I have no thought in my mind about where my next bite will come from, if I can do that and get away with it, then that's okay for me. I can justify that. Now, again, that's not me talking. That's the world talking. Or that lying is okay if it keeps me out of trouble. And I would think that sometime in a person's life, they may have done that. When mom or dad get home and they see something that's wrong in the house, and who did this and not me is usually the first thing that comes out of somebody's mouth. Well, but probably it was me. But I'm saying not me because if I say, yes, I did it, I'm going to get in trouble. But if I say not me, maybe I won't. Of course, then if you get caught lying, there's more problems for you, right? But this is society thinking. Breaking the law is okay if I think the law is wrong. And you know what? We see evidence of that on the highways all the time in this country. The people break the speed limit law because they think it's wrong to have a limit on how fast you can drive. Now, but this is society's way of thinking. Situational ethics. As it affects somebody besides me, then I'm okay with that. But when it affects me, then I'm not okay with that. That's kind of the way this is leading. Well, what about in religion then? In Judges 17:6, and later again in 21:25, it says there was no king in Israel, and everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Now, that wasn't just religiously, because they did other things too, but their existence as a nation was built around a covenant relationship God made with them in the Old Testament, the Law of Moses, and that was not just their religion, it was their way of life. But they did that which was right in their own eyes. One of the things they did that was right in their own eyes was violation of some of God's laws. For instance, when God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," they had other gods. They worshipped God, all right, but they also worshipped Baal or some other entity that somebody else thought was good. And so this was a problem for them, trying to do what's right in their eyes. If we take that principle and apply it to us today, we see that going on everywhere. The people worship God, but they do it according to what they think is right instead of what God has said. because they don't believe there's absolutes. We can all interpret the Bible our own way. You may have heard somebody say that. I know what the Bible says, but we can all interpret it our own way. But that's not what God intends for us to do, is it? He doesn't intend for us to take what He said and then interpret it in any way we want to. So when He said, "Thou shalt make no graven images unto thee, and thou shalt not bow down and worship them," then that was an absolute. Don't do it ever. But when they did it thinking it was all right because it was right in their eyes. That they can interpret God's way, word to mean what they wanted it to. Oh, and then there's this thought. We're all going to the same place, heaven, but we're taking different destinations, different routes to get to that destination. Now, if we were talking about geography, and I said, we're all going to meet in McKenzie. There's different ways from here to get to McKenzie. Some of them shorter or longer than others, but we could all end up in McKenzie by going a different way, right? I mean, we could go out there and get on the highway and go that way, or we could cross over and circle around from behind and come in that way, or go out towards Huntington and go that way and come around the other way. We could do that. It'd still be there. Different routes to get to the same place. But when we're talking about getting to heaven, there's not multiple routes to get there. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then we talked about the two paths. There's a straight and narrow path, and that's the one that leads to life. It's the only one that leads to life. Same destination but different routes is the way the world thinks. Or you can just believe in God or somebody else. It doesn't matter. In fact, we could tie the next one into it. All religions are just kind of the same thing. They're a system of things to do that are morally or ethically right, and it doesn't matter if it's Jehovah God or Allah, or if it has to do with Buddha or Hindu or Confucius or whatever ism that's out there. It doesn't matter. They're all the same, right? But they're not, because they're not all equal. So what if there were no absolutes? No absolute truth, no absolute rules, everything is a loophole or an okay if I do it this way, whatever. What would that mean? It means you could justify doing whatever you wanted to. You think about that. Our society's kind of headed that way. We can justify anything if there's no absolutes, like abortion. Our country is divided nearly half in two over whether this is okay to do or not. But the ones that justify it is because they say there's no absolutes. What about this? Or what about that? Or okay, I get it if it's this, but what about if it's that? It's not absolute in their minds. But for us it is. Or what about any sexual activity? I promise you, there are things that you might not have ever thought of, but somebody's thought of them and they do them. And this is not the place for us to discuss what those are, but anything outside of a husband and his wife that are married together, scripturally, any other sexual activity other than that is not allowed according to God's Word. Whether it be fornication or adultery, whether it be homosexual or even some other things that are unimaginable that people might do. If we can justify lying and cheating and breaking the law if there's no absolutes. Everybody else is doing it, why can't I? That's the thought of our society. And therefore, when you leak that over into religion, any way of salvation is okay. It's kind of like we all interpret the Bible our own way, therefore any plan of salvation would work. But that's if there's no absolutes. But what about if there are? Hebrews 11:6. And Mark 12:32 talks about the need that men have to believe in God. Listen to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Doesn't that sound absolute to you? How would you get around that? There's no loopholes for that. If you don't have faith in God, you're not acceptable to Him. That's what that says. There's no gray area. It's black and white. It's absolute. You believe in Him or you don't. Or what about his son? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That sounds pretty absolute, but Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's absolute. You believe in Jesus or you're dying in your sins. Now, just because you believe in God and just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to be punished. But if you have to believe in Him in order to have the opportunity to avoid the punishment. That is the absolute. Or what about this, when Paul wrote about obeying the gospel? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says that Jesus is coming back in flaming fire with His holy angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel, punishing them with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That sounds absolute to me. If you don't know God, if you don't obey the gospel, Jesus is going to punish you as the judge at the end. Well, some might say, well, in the text that was read for us a while ago said Jesus didn't come to judge. He didn't come the first time to judge. He came to save. But when He comes back the next time, the salvation part is going to be done. And now it's going to be the judging time. For we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, that's absolute. Nobody's missing that party. I shouldn't have used the word party there because that's not what it's going to be. It's going to be a day of judgment. And nobody's going to miss. You know, you might get an invitation to something on earth with an RSVP on there, which means we want you to tell us if you're coming because we'll reserve you a place. But if you're not coming, then it's okay. We don't care if you're not there, but we're inviting you to come. But this is not the way Judgment Day works. Everybody will be there. Nobody's going to have an excuse to say, I've still got stuff to do, or I forgot, or I meant to come, but none of that's going to work because everybody's going to be there. And it also says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody, whether they believed it in this life or not, they're going to say that. Those are absolutes. Or then there's Mark 16:15-16, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That is absolute. Believing the gospel and being baptized for the remission of sins is an absolute in salvation. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, talks about that. That you might recall that we have been buried in baptism with Jesus Christ, and only then can we rise to walk in that newness of life in the likeness of His resurrection. That's absolute. Now, that we have an understanding that there are absolutes, but some people don't want there to be absolutes, let's revisit the math problem. There's two possible solutions to this. Two. I said possible. The first one that I listed up here says this. You take 5, add it to 6, you get 11. That's true because I know that 5 plus 6 is 11, and most of you know that too. If you don't, you can count it out on your fingers if you need to, like many students I've had through the years would do that. But then you take that 11 and multiply it times the 4, you get 44. Now, according to arithmetic, now, 5 plus 6 is always 11. 11 times 4 is always 44. I've done correct arithmetic for this answer. But there's another possibility is that we could say 6 times 4 is 24, and that's also true, that's an arithmetic, math, multiplication fact, 6 times 4. Most of you know, remember, you learned your times tables, we called them. This times this is that. We learned those. They don't learn them anymore very well for some reason. 6 times 4 is 24. Then you take that 24 and add it to the 5, you get 29. Now, 44 and 29 are not the same number. And only one of those is right. And I know that some of you think you know the right answer, and maybe you do, but I do know from experience that there's a good chance at least one of you has the wrong solution to that. If not, you had good math teachers, that's all I can say. Because the arithmetic in both of these solutions, the arithmetic idea, the adding and the multiplying is all right. But only one of these solutions is correct, and it's 29. If you didn't get 29, then you should have gotten 44. If you didn't get 29 or 44, then you have other issues besides just the rules that govern this process. And certainly, I would not put that beyond any group that I would stand before to have this math lesson. The reason that 29 is right is because that answer came from following the rule. Perhaps some of you might remember PEDMAS. If you don't, then that's okay. This is another way to kind of remember this, but there is a certain order that we are to follow in simplifying math expressions. Otherwise, we can't all get the same answer. But if we're doing math, it has to be the same answer to be right. You know, those guys that do the math to figure out where the spaceship has got the angle it has to take to enter and to re-enter and all that has to work, that has to be done mathematically. And they can't be wrong. Or somebody's headed to the sun. Because math rules are absolute. 5 plus 6 is always 11. It's never another number. How does that apply to salvation then? If that simple math problem can have absolutes, then can't there be absolutes involving salvation? It's only obtained when we follow God's rules. Not by doing what's right in my eyes, although that might lead you to the right place. If what's right in your eyes just happens to coincide exactly with what's right in God's eyes, then you'll be there. Another thing that I experienced as a math teacher with some regularity is somebody could work a problem wrong but get the right answer. But the problem is that their method won't work every time. It gets them the right answer sometimes, but it won't get them the right answer every time. The only way to get the right answer every time is to follow the math rules and to do the arithmetic right. The only way that you can receive salvation is to follow God's rules and do what He says is right. Not believing in God will save everybody is not right. We can't believe that God's just going to save everybody at the end. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, it teaches different than that. We can't obtain salvation except by one way, because of the absolute that's presented in the Bible, obey the gospel. Remember, we talked about what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. That if you know not God and obey not the gospel, you're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of His power. There's only one way to salvation, and that's God's way. That's through His Son, Jesus Christ. For you see, if you take some of the things that we know make up the plan of salvation and put it in a negative sense, you see what happens. Jesus said in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, I won't quote all that to you for the sake of time, but that's where John 3:16 is found in the midst of that. But later He says this, He that believeth on Me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. That's an absolute. You don't believe in Jesus, you're condemned already. If you don't repent, Jesus says, Nay, I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you don't repent, then you're going to perish. That's an absolute. Or what about if you don't confess? Jesus said, Unless you confess Me before man, I'll deny you before the Father. Matthew 10:32-33. And if you're being denied access to the Father by His Son, you are not getting there. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by Me. That's the only way to get there. If you choose not to be baptized for the remission of sins, guess what? You won't have remission of sins. Ananias told Saul, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You can't call on the name of the Lord and have your sins washed away if you're not submitted to baptism for the remission of sins. And if you're not faithful, there's no crown of life, no crown of righteousness. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And in that text, it's actually, that's Revelation 2:10, actually saying, being faithful even when faced with death, and you can receive that crown of life. We have to be faithful in order to receive the benefits of God's promises. We have to obey the gospel in order to be one of His children, and we have to be faithful as His children to receive all the benefits of the promises. We can't have the spiritual blessings that are available in Christ if we're not in Christ. We can't have those blessings applied to us in the afterlife if we're not faithful to God all the way to the end. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a child of God because you've never obeyed the gospel. Or maybe you have, but you've not been faithful. We can give you an opportunity to take care of those, to remedy those. We don't remedy them. Jesus does through His blood. God does because of His love and grace and mercy, but He does it to those who are willing to submit. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, we would urge you to do that today. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you're not living the faithful life, we would urge you to get that right today. Because the absolute truth is, if we're not leaving this life faithful to God, we are going to be eternally punished. And that's absolutely the truth. If we can assist you in any way this morning, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.